Yeah, Paint a Caravan was about love and the portrait of love and very, you know, different manifestations of love. And Tempest Fugitives is about time. So where does the term Tempest Fugitives come from? Is that from Richard II? Or is it from the saying Tempest Fugit?
It's mainly from the saying Tempest Fugit, and just a little play on that which Trevor came up with.
You've got Anne Husick with you, Sarah Wendt, David Steele, Jen Elliott, and of course Trevor. There's a few, like Don Juan's Lament, this is a very strong opener, and you have some really interesting, like the collaboration this time is much larger.
Yeah, it's been growing all the time. I mean, we've still got quite a few of the people who are involved in the first album, but we've been able to bring in some more people in the this time round, and just keeps growing all the time and getting broader and more interesting with every song we do.
It's and Don Juan's Lament is great. Now this features Shane Chapman. So where did you find? I want to go through the and Timothy Dark. Where did you find these people? Like, did Trevor find them? Like, how did this all come about?
This is really all down to Trevor networking, and most of the people are from the New York scene that he knows from the New York scene. So when we do the show in June, which everybody involved in that will be from the States, apart from me. I'm the only one who's coming in from overseas to do the show. So yeah, it's very much people from the New York scene and people that Trevor knows and friends of friends and so on. So
yeah.
But yeah, it's a great mix of people.
In each woman untold pleasures I have, my tender but clever touch will arouse. She'll come to me, I'll sail inland sea, salty sweet, her senses wet. I'll catch her pleasures in my net. My lips brush round in breast. Ah, you know the rest. Gathering, growing sighs. One marble of a fire. The halting breath. You know the subtle power opens to my loving words like a flower. Each calls to me strangely, softly, distantly, a joyous someplace far from me. I cannot rest.
the odor of my doom is a woman's perfume. As I play my old guitar, my soul is going down. There'll be no rising sun, but I'll play one last set before I am done. My kiss not heaven sent, but I'll never repent what I've done, what I've done. Yeah, it's coming for me, and I'll never be free, and I know damn well these sweet singing strings are dragging me to hell. But I play my old guitar, my soul is going down. There'll be no rising sun, but I'll play one last set before I am done. My kiss not heaven sent, but I'll never repent what I've done, what I've done.
Mr. Johnson, that's about Robert Johnson. Did you and Trevor write this song together? How did this song come about? Because he's just been gone for 104 years as of last week.
Yeah. It's essentially Trevor wrote the words to that, and together with Ann Husick, who he does a lot of his writing with, they worked out the melody for it. I did the bulk of the percussion for it, which is great because I love blues music and it's lovely to do something with a blues feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, join effort again, and then Timothy Dark was brought in to do the main vocal, and with support of Samara Dunn on it.
Yeah, he's kind of interesting because he's a kind of New York rapper as well.
Yeah.
He's got a very strong voice, and Samara Dunn, she's done. I think she's been on Broadway. Like, she's a Broadway actress. Like, they've done stuff on Broadway, some of these people as well.
Mm. Yeah, well, Trevor comes from a theatrical background.
Mm-hmm.
He's done theatre work in the past, so he's got contacts in that area as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a theatrical element to the show that we're planning. So it all, you know, it's a big mix of not only musical input but other things as well. So it's quite a melting pot.
Mm-hmm. And I love Dark Daddy. This is great. It's Erin Hill, and she's playing the harp as well. So
yeah, Erin wasn't involved in the Painted Caravan. She's somebody who's come into the project for the Tempest Fugitives album. But she's been great. She's given us input on three or four of the tracks. And Dark Daddy is very much a piece. She was very heavily involved in the writing and performance of, because obviously she plays the She does the lead vocals and plays the lead instrument in the harp on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I have to confess, my own input to that is completely limited to just a very simple percussion line. I tried a few other things, but really it's a song that just needed to be allowed to breathe, so I kept it to something very, very simple and just in the background for that, because it was the only thing that really worked with it.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I heard the song, something really stood out about that to me. I thought it was a really exceptional song, and it was my suggestion that we investigated. Well, first of all, it was my suggestion that we should release it as a single, which we did last November. And then to boost that up further, we decided we should really support that with a video. So we got the animated video done for it, which was launched on YouTube a month or so
mm-hmm.
ago. And I think it's a really strong. It's something I'm really really happy with. Really glad to have been involved with. But it's really a showcase for Aaron.
Aaron, yeah, it's a.
I'm looking forward to doing that live. It's a beautiful piece.
Yeah, and the video's striking too. Like the animation of the video is great.
And what happened there was we'd been approached sometime last year by this Polish film company, Four Story, to asking us if we'd be interested in doing a soundtrack to an educational film that they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And in principle, we said we were interested, but they then their grant funding didn't come through for that, or it's been put on hold for a while. But in the meantime, they'd sent us some of the graphics that they've been working on for that, and we really liked them. So we went back to them and said, look, would you be interested in doing a video for us for this song? So they were, and we discussed it with them, gave them a storyboard for it, and they came up with some initial images which we really liked, and so we decided to go ahead with it. And the final thing is, I think it's good. Well, everybody seems to think it's really great.
That's great. I love this song. Is it based on a particular historic incident or not?
Not that I know of, but okay. I haven't had the opportunity to discuss that in any depth with Aaron and Trevor yet. So I'm unfortunately not really the person to
ask
because I didn't write it.
But, maybe if I meet her, I'll ask her.
Was missed.
this is a good one too. This is, you know, this is based on the Greek myth about hubris. A lot of that.
Well, it is, but it's used in an anecdotal sense here because the actual song is about an astronaut who on a space mission who whose ship breaks down, fails, and so he doesn't make it back. So it's kind of in a way in the Icarus sense of going too close to the sun and then crashing to Earth. But the actual story is of the astronaut's tale.
Ah, okay. And this is an interesting trio as well. This is Aaron, Evie from Daimonia Nymph.
Yeah, what happened was that Trevor was aware that I'd been working in London a little bit with this band Daimonia Nymph, who are friends I met in London, Spiros and Evie, who've come over from Greece to... they've been going for many years, but for a long time they were based in Greece, but then they moved to London about 3 or 4 years ago, and since then I've had they've been kind enough to invite me to play a bit of percussion in some of their live performances and one track on their last album, which was great fun to do.
Yeah,
and so I'd mentioned it to Trevor and said it would be really nice to get them involved in something on the Tempest Fugitives album. So I think that kind of gave him the idea of writing something that came, because Daimonia Nymph specialise in using traditional Greek instruments and writing songs that are based on Greek myth and legend and theatre and so on. So it just became a little source of inspiration for that particular for something in that line that they could then contribute to. So that's how that came about.
It's a nice female trio singing. This only reminds me of the almost like Lamia or something, you know, like sirens or something singing.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. I also like En Bleu. There's with Sunnybrook Morber and Alain Rosen. He's a actor singer, I guess. So this is also interesting. There's different historical characters in here, but how long did it take you and Trevor this together? You figure
the albums come together over about between 12 and 18 months, probably closer to 18 months. Because we started, we really never stopped the process of writing. As soon as we'd finished writing songs for the Painted Caravan, even though there was a delay before we got it all released and so on, we just carried on writing songs. And it would be at least over a period of 18 months.
Yeah, and actually it's Song of All Prophets that reminds me of Lamia. Well, both of those do. Icarus and Song of All Prophets, and there's a very intriguing musical passage as well. Are there songs that couple together to you on the album, or not? Like, are there songs that, you know, complement each other that sort of, like Big Iron Gun and Mr. Johnson, or not?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. I can see how you could put those kind of pairings together. It wasn't something that particularly struck me before, but that works.
I like Big Iron Gun as well. This is interesting about, you know, Billy the Kid. So,
yeah.
And you also have another, this is, I guess, down to Trevor again, Dosia McKay is another interesting, very intriguing composer. So how many, there's like, I have the, you know, I have the album sleeve here. How many instruments do you figure you play on this album?
I honestly haven't gone through and counted. A lot of the instruments that, you know, that I get listed are playing, we've put them on there because it's of interest, but it's not to kind of say, you know, this is what an amazing menagerie. It's just a lot of those instruments have got very small parts in it. They've just been used to add a bit of coloration. But we've listed them all out there because we think it's interesting to, you know, some people will be interested to know what those sounds are. And if there's a particular sound in a song that somebody's interested in identifying, at least they can look through that list and probably find what it's likely to be in there.
Is there a musical instrumentation on this album that wasn't on Painted Caravan?
Yes, there must be, but I'd have to trawl through the list to try and identify what.
Because there's a huge, collaboration is a great word for this. Is there, and there's effects on here as well. How many people do you figure are part of this collaboration? Just a rough.
Yeah, there must have been 50 or 60 different people involved in it. I mean, the engineers and that at the studio play an important role as well. As you know, everybody who's been involved in it has had some kind of effect over the sound and direction and so on of the project, which is really nice. It give, you know, people have a they don't just turn up and play a part. Everybody has an input, and there's lots of people shaping it and being involved in taking it in different directions. And that makes it a really interesting project.
Did you, like, between England and New York, did you guys, you know, send tracks back and forth to each other?
All done by sending files backwards and forwards, yeah.
That's massive. Like, I can't even comprehend what you guys have, you know, gone through, because the end result is amazing.
Well, I mean, we have to do that for all my parts. I mean, obviously, a lot of the New York-based people go into the studio. I'm actually in the main studio.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly for all my parts, we have to do it remotely like that.
Yeah, and you're on almost every song, actually.
Yeah, I'm the linchpin. I'm there on every, I pop up on everyone, yeah.
Yeah, so you add that, you know, character to it. Is there, I know there's a difference between the two albums, what do you find similar about Paint a Caravan and Tempest Fugitive?
Really, the whole approach that we take to it, just the way we go about writing and formulating the tracks, it's just been the same process from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But every single song has a completely different starting point, a different instrumentation. So it makes it, the track by track, it's very varied. And because it's different personnel on each track, it's almost like listening to a compilation in some ways.
Yeah.
But what holds it all together is the actual processor we use. I mean, obviously Trevor's production style is constant to every track, and the elements that I put in, I mean, probably there's some kind of style to the contributions that I make that give some kind of link and hold the thing together to some extent. So that's really the way it bonds together. That's as best as I can describe it, really.
That's a good description. There's other songs too, like Green is a great song, just beautiful, and with the dulcimer solo in it, and On Blue, I like those two songs together as well. They seem like On Blue sounds like, I'm not sure, Lost Love. I'm not.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of a kind of Edith Piaf
yes.
going on in there, and that sort of French cafe atmosphere to it.
Mm-hmm. And then Beloved Suicide, that's Ivy Webb, and she comes back from Painted Caravan.
Yeah,
that's nice.
That was, I was actually, Ivy, although she's American, she's based over in London at the moment,
mm-hmm.
So we were actually able this time round to go and work on together on that in the studio. We did the vocals together in the studio in London. So that's the only time I've actually on the whole project that I've been in the studio together with one of the other artists where we've been performing the thing at the same time.
Yeah, that's a nice track. Like, the whole album just flows so well. Lycanthrope is another one, too. For people that don't know what that means, what is that? I already know, but what is it? What's a lycanthrope?
It's a kind of werewolf thing. It's the wolf man, the human that transforms into a wolf.
Mm-hmm. And this one seems like he's a modern wolf in sheep's clothing, I think.
Yeah, again, I think so as well, but Trevor's lyrics, so he'd have to be the one to tell me. To reveal all.
It's kind of neat, too, in Migrators, that sounds like it sounds like it
yeah, Migrators was one that I started off, I made the the basic rhythm track and the piano parts and so on, and then sent it over to, it went initially to Sarah Vent,
mm-hmm.
who brought in another vocalist friend of hers, John, and they wrote the vocal parts together, and Sarah wrote the lyrics to that one.
That seems like it might be about reincarnation, but I'm not sure. I have all these interpretations, so... John's also a New York actor as well.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Interesting. Can you, let me think here, tell me a little bit more about how the show at Webster Hall, how this is going to be interpreted for the stage, and will you be playing from both albums? How's this going to work?
Yeah, we will have tracks from both albums. Mm. Slightly more weighted on the new one,
yeah.
But there will be songs. And it will be... around about a 12-piece band on stage, so we'll try and bring as many of the instruments in as possible. There's going to be a theatrical element to it, so there'll mm-hmm. be, when we do tracks like the Robert Johnson one or whatever, there'll be a little bit of acting out of some of the elements of that.
Yeah.
So it should be an interesting show.
I think everything from, you know, Billy the Kid to Robert Johnson to werewolves to, like, it's...
There's plenty of scope, as you can see.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Frenchie and the Punk. Now, are they opening for you guys? How are they working into this?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're, again, they're a two-piece that Trevor knows through the New York scene. Because... you've seen from the cover of Tempest Fugitives, we've got a slightly steampunk theme
mm-hmm,
going on.
Yeah.
There. Frenchie and the Punk are very active in that area. They've kindly agreed to come and support us at the Webster Hall show. So I think and then we'll also have a performance in between by Erin Hill doing some of her solo stuff.
Oh, that's great!
So it'll be a good bill. It'll be a very interesting and varied bill.
And do you guys have plans to perform this anywhere else at this point?
Not yet, but we're hoping that we really wanted to put this show together and do this as a kind of showpiece event. To raise interest and awareness, and there's obviously a lot of planning gone into this. So,
well, I hear the Marlin Room is beautiful.
It looks
stunning, and and Webster Hall is a classic.
Yeah, it's
venue.
Got a great history. I mean, it's when you look through and see who's played there over the years, it's quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm. I think so. What? Let me think here. Are you guys working on the third part? Because this is a trilogy.
No, we have actually stopped because we had to concentrate all our efforts on Joe and getting the video done for Dark Daddy and getting the release schedules for the album and so on. So mm-hmm. we're temporarily on stop on the writing. Though, having said that, there's still ideas coming into my mind, and I'm sure Trevor's the same. So. I think once we're past the show, I can imagine that the flow will start again quite rapidly.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it would... Like, I'm thinking Love, Time, what would the next one be? Because it is a trilogy.
I can't give you any...
No. For people that... Like, how would you define Tempest Fugitives? Like, music-wise and content-wise? I always have to get
that. It's a very difficult one to answer because it's just really got so many. There's so much going on. I think I haven't found anybody who, obviously amongst family and friends and stuff, I put it in front of a lot of people, and they're people with all sorts of different tastes, and everyone says I really like this, or at least there's certain tracks on it or parts of it that they really like, and even if they're into completely different styles of music, there still seems to be something in there that that they latch on to. So my hope is that it's got very broad appeal. Obviously, in terms of the instrumentation we use, you know, there's world music elements to it, there's mm-hmm. early music elements to it, there's slightly orchestral elements to it, there's some songs that would lend themselves very much towards soundtrack style, there's other songs mm-hmm. that are really, you know, just basically a mainstream type song. It really is very varied, and we just our hope is that we can just get the music in front of as many people as possible, and mm-hmm. and you know, as we keep going with the project, just bring more and more people to it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it up on its feet as a, you know, a theatrical interpretation. Mm. I think it'll work out really well, and it'll have a different identity. You know, like the music video gives Dark Daddy a completely different identity. So the project will have two dimensions, which is great. Because, like, you know, you can listen to the album over and over and over again. And the more you listen to it, it's kind of like Painted Caravan. The more you listen to it, the more it grows, like it just gets under your skin. And the songs, there's a couple of songs that are kind of earworms for me now. They just run around in my head. Which is really great. Like, I like Mr. Johnson. I'm getting into the blues big time. Of course, I love Dark Daddy, and I really like Don Juan's Lament. Like, it's a very strong opening song. Right. And Zanzibar is interesting, too. Where did this come from? This is you and Trevor together.
Well, I went to Tanzania on holiday last my wife and I spent the latter part of the holiday, about 5 days, on the island of Zanzibar, which was, you know, a really fascinating experience. And there's an opening refrain in that song, which I played on an ocarina, which is the actual song that the local dove sings. And mm-hmm. we were woken up by this song every morning at about 6 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
With the dove sitting up in the tree above the hut that we were sleeping. And it's an amazing thing, because it's exactly the same tune and exactly the same rhythm, and it just repeats it over and over. So I just took that and reproduced mm-hmm. it and made it the start of a song. And then the lyrics are very, very simple. It's just mm-hmm. about the spice trade and sailors arriving at Zanzibar.
Mm-hmm. What's Njiwa? Is that the dove?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Njiwa is the local Swahili, I think it is, word for a dove.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was trying to look up that word, and I thought, I think that's what that means. So I have that written down. I wanted to ask you about that.
Oh,
beaches are real. You know we've traveled far. Here we are, Zanzibar.
To write things. Do you like have a diary? Do you write stuff down?
It's not so much a diary, but I always travel with a little notebook and scribble down ideas when they hit me.
Yeah. Well, wait till you get to New York. You'll be scribbling aplenty.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for calling me. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
All
Thank
right.
you very much for your time.
Hey, no problem.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Be in touch. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye.